All right, welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, who's headed to Boston for the Lakers-Celtics Saturday night on ABC. I'm joined remotely by NBA champion Kendrick Perkins, who will join us in just a second, and of course, future Hall of Famer Vince Carter. Coming up, Perk shared his all-star starters on Twitter yesterday. Vince is going to tell us if he buys what Kendrick is selling, you know, with his all-star picks. But first, we begin today's show with my hometown Miami Heat, and it has not gone well for Eric Spoelstra's squad. Miami blew an 18-point lead last night to the Clippers, who didn't have Paul George and Kawhi. This all in front of the fans, you know, who were sniffed by dogs that we mentioned earlier. And again, it was their fifth straight loss for Miami. And after the game, Tyler Hero said, "This group is good in the locker room. We're just going to figure it out soon." A big part of the problem is the absence of Jimmy Butler. For 10 straight games, he's been out due to COVID-19 protocols. We saw a much slimmer version of Jimmy on the sidelines Wednesday night. His status is unclear for Saturday's game against the Kings. So the Heat currently rank near the bottom of the league in win percentage, offensive efficiency, three-point field goal percentage, and dead last in rebounds per game. So, Vince, I'll ask you, how worried should Heat fans be right now about their squad?
I honestly think it's some concern. I mean, obviously, their fearless leader and Jimmy Butler not there, looking slimmer than ever. And it's about, you know, well, first and foremost, it's about making sure that Jimmy is okay. He's safe, and he, you know, he's able to get himself back into game shape and get back on the floor, because, I mean, he brings a lot to the table for the Miami Heat. You know, his voice, his play, you know, his effort on the court. So, but right now they just have to hold the fort down until he gets back. And yeah, it's a concern when, you know, you have an opportunity against a Clippers team that's missing their superstars, both of them, and you have a double-digit lead, and it falls apart. That is a concern, because they pride themselves on their defensive culture and the atmosphere and just closing games and being able to take care of business, and it's not getting done right now. So hopefully Jimmy gets better, get back on the court for them, and they can go back to their winning ways.
Perk, what about those guys from the 305? I know you were big on them last year. What are you seeing from them right now?
Well, unfortunately, George, the Goons from Dade County has been affected by injuries and the COVID protocol, and it sucks. But here's the thing: the Heat are in trouble right now because the East is stronger. It's no more of this weak Eastern Conference. To me, the East is just as equal as the Western Conference, and you have a lot of teams right now, like the Pacers, the Hawks, the Orlando Magic, I mean the Cleveland Cavaliers, that are getting better.
Even the Knicks.
So to be six games under 500 right now at this point, and not playing really good basketball, inspiring basketball, and have to play catch up in this strong Eastern Conference is just not good right now, George. And it's sorry to say, but the Heat are in trouble. They got to pray, because it's first 48 right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it, Perk, when you think about it. Like, you know, look, the Jimmy situation is big. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I thought Vince nailed that. And look, I'm not going to act like I'm a doctor or I even know anything, but I do think that considering he's been out this long, it probably shows you how serious the COVID situation was within the Miami Heat organization. Mm-hmm. They have dealt with injuries. I think they've only played maybe half their games with at least eight players. Like that's a big problem, right? Like when you're fielding a team with a bunch of G League guys, I don't care how good Eric Spoelstra is, I don't care how good Bam has been, and they've both been great thus far this season. That's a big problem to overcome. Like, it's a challenge. I do think that we've seen this team, though, when their back is against the wall. If they can get right, I still feel like they can be one of those teams that can sneak in to the play-in situation, or maybe even to that eighth or seventh spot in the East.
But, George, like you said, like Perk said, rather, you get too far down the line, it's going to be almost virtually impossible to get yourself back into contention to get into the play-in game, because I think you said six games under 500. Well, you keep pummeling down there. It after a while, it's even when Jimmy gets back, because he still has to get in game shape.
Right.
He has to get back into that high level basketball shape that he's capable of being in, you know, it could be too late.
All right, let's move on here. The NBA All-Star voting started earlier this week. Perk, you shared your All-Star starters for each conference on Twitter yesterday. Hashtag carry on. Take us through your selections, starting out west. What do we got here?
Well, first of all, you know you got LeBron James, right? I mean, think about it. He's playing at an extremely high level, at an MVP-type level, so that was a no-brainer. You look at Stephen Curry, a guy that probably if he wasn't playing with the Warriors, they probably would not have won the game this season. So almost averaging 30 points a game. Look at what Dame Lillard is doing, being the Dame Dollar that we know, putting up almost 30 points a night. And then you talk about Big Jokic, the Joker. His number speaks for himself. Jamal Murray hasn't been playing up to par like we expected him to play. We thought he was going to take a tremendous leap this year after what we saw in the bubble, and he hasn't. So Jokic has been carrying this Denver Nugget team, and I would never question a great Greg Popovich again. When he make a comparison like he did saying that Jokic is the new Larry Bird, I believe him, okay? And then Paul George. I know everybody want to talk about Kawhi Leonard, and rightfully so, but Paul George is having one of the best seasons of his career. Yeah. He's shooting 50, 49, 50, 48 from the three, and 90 from the line, or some ridiculous stat number like that, and he's playing some inspiring basketball, and guess what? He took a lot of heat in the bubble. He took a lot of heat this offseason. He said that people were going to pay on the All the Smoke podcast, and he's showing up. So not only is he talking the talk, but he's walking the walk. And that's how I selected my All-Star starters in the Western Conference. Do you and Vince got a problem with it, George?
Okay, let's go with Vince first. Vince, what do you think about Perk's selections?
I like the selection. There's only one person that is kind of question, if you would, and it's Paul George, and everything you say is 1,000% correct. But what about that guy in Dallas by the name of Luka Doncic? He's almost having a triple-double, doing what he needs to do. And I just feel like he is playing great basketball, and he's improving and getting better as well.
Right.
He's played more games and has a better average as well. But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's just, you know, either you like this way or you like it that way. I just think Luka Doncic is playing at an all-star level. Yes, he was already in the running for MVP coming into the season, and he's living up to it. He's playing some great basketball as well.
Well, George, I hear you saying right. Do you second that?
I think that Luka is in the conversation. I probably wouldn't put him over any of those guys that you have at the moment. But the one guy, if I had to think of one guy that I think was also omitted on that list, and I don't have a big problem with your list, but Spider Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell has been fantastic. He's on the number one team in the Western Conference. I know this may be blasphemous because I think Steph Curry is a transformational, transcendent talent. But if we're talking about this particular season, okay, I may put Donovan Mitchell in there ahead of Steph this particular season. But I ain't going to fight you on it. First of all, I would never fight you because you'd kill me. But number two, I wouldn't fight you on it because it's just close to me. Like, I mean, if you went with Steph, I ain't going to argue too much.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me say this, George, and you have a great point. But when you look at the Utah Jazz, they have a good team. They have a great team. Mm-hmm. So when you look at their stat line, they have guys, six or seven guys every night that are finishing in double figure points. And no knock on Spider, but he has had an up and down season. And you have guys like Jordan Clarkson, who has been like a sixth man of the year candidate, who has been helping the Jazz win games. Now, Vince, let me get to you on your point about Luka. Yes, Luka is putting up those monster numbers that's showing up in the stat sheet. But what I want Luka to do is to start showing the world that he can make winning plays that don't show up in the stat sheet. Because here's the problem that I have. Everybody criticized Russell Westbrook when he averaged a triple-double, saying it doesn't translate to winning basketball, but we do not keep that same energy when it comes down to Luka.
Vince, what do you think?
I'm going to say this. I think without Luka on the floor, though, Dallas doesn't win either.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, and that's why I felt like he's playing basketball. And I agree with you. If he continues the killer instinct and mentality, and to prove that, he can lead their team, good things can happen. But you take him off, like you mentioned with Donovan Mitchell, the games that he hasn't played, they're still winning. I think if Luka's not in the game or not playing for them or missing games, Dallas doesn't win.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I mean, he is a one-man band in a lot of cases there with the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks not in the playoffs right
no,
now,
they're not.
BC and George. They're not winning.
No, I agree. But where would they be if he wasn't playing?
Right. They'd probably be the worst team, arguably, in the conference for sure. So, all right, let's do this. We're going to talk about the East on the other side. We're gonna push that back a little bit. We'll go over Perk's Eastern Conference starters a little bit later. But first, we have some sad news to report here. Legendary Temple University head coach John Chaney has passed away just one week after his 89th birthday. Chaney led the Owls to the NCAA tournament 17 times in his tenure with the team, including 5 appearances in the Elite Eight. As we look at some of Chaney's accomplishments, Vince, what's your reaction to hearing the passing of Coach Chaney?
It's sad. It's tough. Another legend yet gone again. And his energy and what he's done for Temple University, he's a legend and he will be missed. I cannot remember, I was asking off the air who he was getting in a fight with, but he would do anything for his team. And, I was recruited. I've gotten the opportunity to talk with him and his knowledge of the game. He makes you feel comfortable. His love for people and people gravitate to him. So it's just sad to see him go.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most genuine human beings I ever met, especially in high school when he was recruiting me and he came down to Old Country, Beaumont, Texas. I mean, just the nicest guy in the world, but straightforward. You could tell that he wanted the best for his players. He didn't have a hidden agenda. Everything about him was genuine. You could just tell people with good hearts, and his spirit rubbed off on you as soon as he walked in the room. And we're going to miss him. And, it's just hard because it seems like every day we're waking up and we're losing a great iconic figure that changed the game, that inspired so many people in this world, especially in the basketball world. And Coach Chaney would truly be missed.
No question about it. A legend,
absolutely.
A pioneer, right? Like, I mean, his what he brought to that school and what he did for African-American coaches, right? And what he did just in general for the African-American community can never be overstated. Like, he is a true legend and pioneer in every sense of the word. And, of course, our thoughts are with the Chaney family and all his former players and fellow coaches as well in the Temple family. Back to the D. The hoop had a lid on it for the Lakers. Perk, is this just a late January in Detroit type of night for the Lakers or what? Look at this.
Well, I think the Lakers were just in cruise control. And look, George, they was whooping on everybody, beating everybody by double figures, and they get relaxed. Sometimes you need that humble pie, and that's what they got to do. Rose played good, and we finally saw Blake Griffin's sight.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin finally came to play. Wow, he's been missing since the Clipper day.
Vince, what'd you think?
Yeah, I agree with Perk. I think, you come into this game and you see who you're playing and you're like, we're going to cruise and we can turn it up when they want to. But they gave the Pistons a little too much life and couldn't quite turn it back up. But I don't think it's of concern. These guys are champions and they know how they need to play to get in gear.
Yeah, look, I agree with you guys. I think that this is a team that is fifth game of a road trip, right, of 7 games. You guys, more so than anyone, would know how that feels. I am asking you this. You know, Anthony Davis has been very critical of his own play here over the last several weeks, and I know he put up decent numbers yesterday, but he's talked about, I guess, his lack of impact at times. Two nights ago he had good numbers against Philly. He didn't play yesterday, but... Perk, what have you made of Anthony Davis's play thus far?
Well, it hasn't been up to the standard that I thought AD was going to come out to this year. Now, he's still a guy that's going to give you 22 points a game because he's just that talented. But I actually had Anthony Davis winning the MVP this season in my preseason pick, and he's been disappointing me. But, you know, I think right now what Anthony Davis is doing and what the Lakers are doing, he has a couple of nicks and bruises, and they're making sure that he's healthy with a shortened offseason, that he could remain healthy throughout the course of the season. And
oh, it looks like we lost
power.
Maybe not. No, you're there. You're there. That's my bad, Perk. It's all good. Let's do
this. I'm right here, George. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay, cool. I'm here with you. Let's do this. You know, speaking of Anthony Davis, after the break, our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, she sat down with Anthony Davis ahead of the big ABC primetime game against the Celtics. But first, here's a sneak peek of Sunday night's episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Featuring Ray Romano and a Bulls last dance question.
In the 2020 documentary series, The Last Dance, Michael Jordan said, "Oh, I hated him." And that hate carries even to this day. About which of his rivals? Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, Detroit Pistons, Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, I think I know it. I don't want to be irresponsible with the money. For the charity.
Right.
But I do think I know it. So if I get this wrong, it goes back to 32.
Yes.
I'm gonna trust that I know it. And say the yeah. See, Detroit Pistons, final answer.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. And ahead of the Lakers game on Saturday night primetime against the Celtics, Rachel sat down with Lakers superstar Anthony Davis to discuss winning his first title, the difficulty of trying to repeat as champs, the new-look Brooklyn Nets, and much more. Let's take a look.
You're in a Super Bowl ad. That's kind of crazy. When they came to you and said, "Oh, do you want to be in a Super Bowl commercial?" How did you feel about Michelob wanting you to do this?
It's definitely an honor. It's like, being in a video game for football. You know, what's more bigger than maybe the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl ads.
It's you, it's Serena Williams, it's a bunch of other athletes. And the tagline is, "Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy?" Which is kind of an interesting idea and something you and I have talked about in bigger, larger ways for years, right?
Yeah, it is. If you think about it, it's really like a crazy concept. And for me, I think, especially with what I've been through two seasons ago with New Orleans, and then coming to LA and winning a championship, I think you win because you're happy. You know, with me applying this to my life, you know, off the floor, I was happy. On the floor, I was happy, joyful, excited, and now I win a championship. So I think some people do, you know, is happy because they win, but I for sure was the other one. I would definitely win because I was happy for sure.
So when you did win the title, we were all in the bubble. Did you reward yourself with anything? I know you have a very fancy, large, shiny ring, but did you get anything for yourself?
I didn't. I know, I see some guys, you know, Kuz pulled up in a Lamborghini. I was like, "Oh, cool, you doing your thing." So I haven't bought anything of that magnitude. The only thing that I hate that we didn't do was have the parade. We really pushed to have that parade, but that just means we have to win it again this year to have one.
Is that what you think? Because they said they're going to delay it and do it anyway. But if you just win another title, you can just take care of it all in one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
How does winning a championship change your mindset?
When we won, obviously I was a meme, crying and things like that, but that was one of the best feelings in the world, for sure. And I want to have that feeling again in a couple more times. You know, I don't want to be a one-stop shop, you know, one-time thing. You know, you won one, now it's, you know, I want multiple. And I think that's the drive behind this season.
What'd you think of the meme?
It was everywhere. I saw one that was so funny when the PlayStation 5s and stuff was coming out and the Xboxes. that when your girl walk in and buy you a PS5, and it was me sitting there crying. Oh, it was hilarious. They had it for everything.
There was also the one of you peeking around the door when we were in the bubble.
Yeah. That one too. That was a good one. Man, I had a couple memes in the bubble, huh? Man.
See? You're an internet star, Anthony Davis. What is hard about trying to repeat?
You're going to get everybody best shot. You're going to get everybody wants to be the champions. That's the toughest part. And now you appreciate, back when we were playing, like, man, the Warriors are cheat code, man. These guys, man, they just went in. They added players. But now, you know, as a champion and you come out this year, you really appreciate, like, man, those guys, that was tough what they did. That was very tough to come out and repeat, you know. And even back when Shaq and Kobe three-peat, it was tough to see what those guys did, especially when, you know, you have this target on your back. So you're going to get everybody's best shot.
Breaking news. James Harden has been traded.
You assemble Lethal Weapon 3. There's simply no excuse not to come out of the East.
The landscape of the NBA has changed again. What do you think of James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving playing together and the challenge that might pose to you if you end up meeting that team in the finals?
It's a threat. They're definitely a threat. They're a team that, like I say, can score. Score will. They're a good team, man. I think they're the favorites in the East now, you know, since JH went over there. So it's going to be a fun battle. It's definitely going to be a battle.
We build different, dog. We build different.
Oh, no. Oh.
Why are you and LeBron so good together?
We know that our relationship off the floor is going to help our relationship on the floor. Usually when your two main guys are not getting along, the team really isn't in good shape. And for us, we have two guys who really, really like being around each other and want the best for each other. So it makes everyone around us feel more comfortable and makes it easy for them to come talk to us or, you know, be around us and hang with us, which helps our team camaraderie and help us get one step closer to our goal.
I wanted to ask you, too, how winning may have made you feel more connected to Kobe. The idea that you won in that same uniform, and in fact, you won on a title run where you guys wore the special Mamba uniforms.
And you took the words right out of my mouth, Rachel. The Mamba jerseys made me feel so connected to him. The game winner against Denver, you know, I yelled Kobe. And it wasn't even intentional. It just happened. It was just like, I guess it was the jerseys. And then now, forever, no matter what happens, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 years from now, my name and Kobe's name will be connected as far as championships. Obviously, I have a long way to go to catch him, but I'm four behind now. And my name will always be tied to the Lakers organization as far as winning a championship, and so will his.
All right, thanks to AD and Rachel for that interview. I'm George Sedano, still here with Kendrick Perkins and Vince Carter. And we're now joined by our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. Zach, welcome aboard. So, Zach, earlier in the show, we were talking about Perk's West All-Star starters. Now it's time for his East lineup that he posted on Twitter. We're going to debate here a little bit. He's got Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Giannis, KD, and Joel Embiid. So, Zach, we'll start with you. Do you agree with these picks?
I'm 80% there with Perk, and the one switch I would make is Bradley Beal, the leading scorer in the entire NBA, in for Kyrie Irving, who left his team for 8 games or whatever it ended up being. And look, I know what Perk's going to say. I know what he's going to say. The Wizards stink. The Wizards are losing. How can we reward losing? Mm-hmm. The Wizards, who have half a team, are almost dead even in scoring margin with Bradley Beal on the floor. They're like minus 1.5 per 100 possessions. When you consider who Bradley Beal is playing with, that is a pretty damn impressive feat by Bradley Beal. Off the court, they're like minus a million when Bradley Beal doesn't play. So I'm going to set the record aside and reward Bradley Beal for his individual play and put him in the starting five. Otherwise, Perk, I'm with you. Great job.
VC?
I'm the same thing. I'm with you outside of Bradley Beal. And the only reason outside of what you just said, Zach, is a couple of years, for the last couple of years, there's been a couple of All-Stars that's gotten in on bad teams. So they open the door to start something. So Bradley Beal, who is now leading the league in scoring, is just a little different. I mean, he's playing, and like you said, you take Bradley Beal off the Washington Wizards right now, where are they? Zero wins, but and they don't come close. So you know, outside of that, and the only reason I say that because Kyrie hasn't played, he's still playing at a high level, but he hasn't played as many games. I mean, Bradley Beal has been there, putting in work, And he's the focal point for every team he plays against, and he's still putting up 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, so salute to him.
Let's go, Perk.
Well, that's what you got, man.
Well, listen, look, I have no knock on Bradley Beal. He's just not a starter. I feel like he's going to be an all-star, and rightfully so, because he is leading the league in scoring. But this is what you also have to look at when you're picking all-star starters, all right? The all-star game is not what it used to be. It's solely entertainment. And they want to see guys in there that's going to entertain. What other better entertaining player that we have in today's game than Kyrie Irving? I mean, he is and one mixtape. But when you think about what he's brought to the table, this is arguably Kyrie Irving's best year. He's averaging almost 28 points a game, and he's shooting a career high of 52% from the field. So I get it, right? He did miss some games, but when he's been on the court and between those lines, he's been definitely hard to stop.
Perk, you know I love you. You know I love you. I got nothing but love for you. But I'm with Zach and BC on this one. Bradley Beal would be my guy too, okay? But it is your list, so carry on. All right, here's what's next on The Jump. It's what The Jump recommends for today. Our friend Zach Lowe, 10 things he likes and he doesn't like. Read that on ESPN Plus, because check this. Coming up next, we'll discuss what he likes about Luka Doncic and more. So stick around for that here on The Jump. Welcome back. Before the break, we plugged Zach's 10 Things column on ESPN Plus. So Zach, let's start here. Tell us what you like about Luka Doncic.
There is nothing more powerful in the NBA than a 6'7", 6'8", wing who can score from everywhere in any way, that can see the floor from everywhere. And so I've noticed this season, Luka's getting a little nasty down on the block. He's getting a little shoulder checks, getting a little mean down there. And I really like that, because you know in the playoffs, even if you're a LeBron James, you need every tool in the toolbox to beat the best defense, because you're going to see switches, you're going to see mismatches. And if you can't punish smaller guys in the post, your team's going to suffer. But Luka, he's getting a little nasty down there. And you guys know he might be the best passer in the league, certainly top three. If you double him on the block with four shooters around him, forget about it. It's over. So we know he can score on the pick and roll. We know he's going to shoot step back threes. If he adds a post-up game on mismatches, it's a problem.
Well, I agree, and he is getting nasty on the low block, Zach, and I think it was a learning experience for him last year in the bubble when he played against the Clippers that he needed to have that edge. But I'm going to say this, though, Zach. When are we going to start holding Luka accountable on the defensive end? When are we going to start holding him accountable for his making winning plays that don't show up in the stat sheets? We watch a lot of stars. You could go from top to bottom, from Giannis to LeBron James, to Kawhi Leonard, guys that are diving on the floor for loose balls, taking charges, chase down blocks, anchoring the defense, doing those type of things. When are we going to see that out of Luka? I think that's the next step that he has to take for us being a superstar player and converting those historical numbers into big wins.
I think he saw those post moves from the Perk tape from back in the day that we've been running here on The Jump, and maybe that's where he got those moves. All right, so Zach.
Perk was nasty.
Yeah, so there you go. He's got dropped that shoulder. He knows where it's coming from. All right, so Zach, tell us what you like. What you like. I'm sure you did. Zach, tell us what you like about Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, my God, you can tell that this guy has put in the work. He's not just shooting jumpers. He's not just running rim sprints. Look at his footwork, jab steps, step backs, little smitty fake spins. You can tell this guy has been in the lab breaking down every move into 5 or 6 mini moves. So when he's got you on an island, he's got so much footwork. It's almost, I don't want to go this far, but it's almost Kobe-esque. Everyone says the mid-range shot is dead. The mid-range shot is not what anyone wants. You guys know, to win a championship, you need one or two guys who, when the defense is taken away, everything else can go into the mid-range and get a decent shot. And Jaylen Brown's footwork has been unbelievable. The guy's averaging 27 a game. He might be in the most improved player conversation.
Right now, to me, he is the most improved player. And I tell you, we saw an athlete who's now grown into a player, a two-way player. He's getting it done on both ends. And yes, his footwork, his ball handling, his confidence is really shining through right now. And I tell you what, like, when you put the work in and you see the results and you're benefiting from that. Like, his points per game is going, the average is going up. And now you're seeing, oh man, this is what I worked on in the summer, and I'm able to pull this move off. Because sometimes you can work on a move, Perk, you know this too, you can go work on a move and it's good when you're in slow motion, but when you're going against an elite defender and it's not quite working, yeah, you kind of scrap that. So you can just see the confidence in his game and in his bop and the way he just moves around the court. And he can score at any level, at any time, on anyone.
All right, and last but not least, Zach.
Preach.
Zach, what do you like about the new look Rockets?
The Rockets have all these NBA characters. It's like NBA Mad Libs come to life. There's John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Gordon's doing stuff. Oh, Victor Oladipo's there. Number one, they're playing super hard. They're number one in defense since the James Harden trade. Let me repeat that. The Houston Rockets have the best defense in the NBA in the last 8 to 10 games. That's ridiculous. And John Wall, I'm so happy for John Wall because he was one of my absolute favorite players to watch in the NBA when he was healthy. A woefully underrated passer. The guy is a visionary passer. He made corner threes a thing in Washington. He conjured them from nothing with his passing. And every night we are seeing flashes, and sometimes more than flashes, entire quarters, halves, of vintage John Wall streaking up the floor, lefty dunks, hitting people for corner threes. It's been wonderful to see, and I really hope it keeps up.
Look, it's crazy how the transformation went from ISO ball to team ball. Not only are they playing great defense and being tied on the string, you see guys helping the helper, guys fighting to get over screens, guys talking and communicating on the defensive end. Offensively, it's player movement, it's ball movement, it's fun to watch. As a former player, that's a team that I could point at and say, I want to be a part of that team. John Wall is having fun. DeMarcus Cousins is showing back what he could do. Christian Woods possibly could make the All-Star game the way that he's been playing. But look, I coach a third grade team in AAU, and if I had one team to pick right now to show them film on how to play team ball, it would be the Houston Rockets.
Wow.
He said it. And I also, that's saying something, but I also think Christian Wood is in the run for most improved as well because he's playing lights out. And I think, you know, the new coaching staff and everybody coming in is just giving these guys new life. They want to show that they still deserve to be in this league. They, meaning John Wall, as well as DeMarcus Cousins. And this is a great opportunity for Christian Wood to show what he really can do. Because we didn't, you saw flashes in Detroit. Now you're really seeing Christian Wood flourish into a legit player, possibly an all-star. So I think ball movement, player movement, and having packages for each player. At some point, you want to highlight DeMarcus Cousins in pick and roll and in the post and give John Wall sometimes to have isolation moves or putting those two into position to succeed because that's a tough cover. And they're getting that opportunity. They've bought into what is being sold to them, and that's why they're playing great basketball right now.
And by the way, shout out to Steven Silas, right? Like so much stuff that he had to deal with to begin this season and to have them playing the way they're playing. Man, that's on him too, for sure. So shout out to him. All right, coming up next, the Jazz are in search of their 11th straight win tonight here on ESPN. But are they on upset alert against the Mavericks? One of our panelists thinks so. We'll get to that. It's crunch time here on The Jump. The Pelicans host the Milwaukee Bucks on ESPN tonight. But Perk, New Orleans has the second worst record in the West at 6-10. For a team with so much talent, why isn't New Orleans better at the moment?
Well, first of all, I thought, and look, no disrespect to Stan Van Gundy. I think he's a wonderful human being. Thought he had a good coaching career. I just didn't think he was the right fit for the job. I thought they needed to go with a younger coach, a younger stud. And then secondly, George, when is Lonzo Ball going to show us that he was the number two pick? Like, it's time for him to show us either you're a superstar or all-star caliber player or you're a role player. But right now, all I'm screaming is free J.J. Redick. Free J.J. Redick.
Well, look, about Lonzo, they have no shooting in the half court. When Brandon Ingram gets into the lane, he sees bodies, bodies, bodies everywhere. So their half court offense is bad. they're young, and their defense has been terrible. They're 23rd in defense. They're allowing the most threes in the league. That's somewhat by design, and that's fine. We've seen a lot of teams do that and be good. You just better protect the rim. They're allowing opponents to shoot almost 70% at the rim, and when Steven Adams is off the floor, they have absolutely no shot to defend the rim. So they're a young team that's struggling on defense.
Well, that I know defense and struggling to Stan is driving him crazy. I got the opportunity to play for Stan in Orlando. knowing Stan like I do, you know, he's one of those guys, he's going to hold everybody accountable. And in today's athlete, hear me out when I say this, and they don't like to be challenged. And Stan will challenge you. And I feel like once they get to know Stan and who he is and how he goes about his business, and all he cares about is winning basketball, and he expects you, if you're the star, I need you to show up. If you're the role player, I need you to show up and do your job. And I think he's going to jab at you. He's going to get at you. He's going to yell at you. And I think today's younger guys tend to struggle with that until they get used to him. So I think they'll play better basketball in the second part of the season once they kind of get used to Stan. Because I remember when I got traded there, and I got – at first it was like, hey, ease up, brother, because we used to have taped shoot-arounds, and it was practice. It wasn't no just walk-through. It was taped shoot-around. And I don't know if he does that now, but he's a fiery guy, and he studies very hard, and he will have your team prepared. But once these guys – and I feel once these guys get used to old Stan Van, they'll be okay.
Yeah, he certainly is going to hold people accountable. And by the way, they needed help in being more structured, to be honest with you. I look at that team.
Yep, and he is that.
They were a team that just ran. Like, there was no structure to their offense. They had to learn how to play in the half court. Defensively, they are a team that, you know, at times felt non-existent. So I think that, you know, it takes a while to implement that culture, Vince, that you're talking about. Because, you know, it took you as an adult and a veteran a minute to kind of adjust. It's certainly going to take a little longer for the younger guys. All right. That'll do it for us.
Miami Heat culture.
Again, thanks to Zach. Thanks to Perk. Thanks to Vince for joining us today. The Jump is back on Monday. Rachel will be back in the chair. Make sure you subscribe to the Jump podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. Have a great weekend. See ya.